Today's public reading will be taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 11 to the end. Last week we saw the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and that shows the divine equation to the salvation of one sinner. Here we're going to look at the human dimension of salvation. Yes, man must respond to the message. Man must believe, yes, but you also must never dismiss that divine side of the sovereignty of God. I'm going to read and then give commentary at the same time. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, delivered unto them his living. Beloved, this was an insult to the father. In the eyes of this son, his father was dead. Therefore, he wants his portion of the family inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He packed his bag, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Those who are outside of Christ, those who are in Adam, those who are not saved, beloved, are like this boy in this sense. They live in a far country. They are separated from God. They are separated from the life of God. They are aliens to the kingdom of God, and they are the enemies of God. And not only that, in that lifestyle that they currently have, their life and all that they have is normally wasted in riotous living that has no eternal worth or value. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Notice, when the devil and all of his trinkets run out, man is found to be in want. The devil will only lead men and women to spiritual bankruptcy. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And beloved, at this point, as Jesus is giving this parable in the house here, the audience, those Jewish ears, were tingling with something that was so foreign and so obnoxious and so odious to their thinking. Swine? A Jewish boy working for somebody and feeding swine? Feeding and coming in contact with something that was classified as unclean and never to be consumed. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Notice, when you are in the pigsty of the devil, you are in want, you are in desperate need. And the only thing that we can tell such a person, nobody can offer or give you anything that's going to soothe the loneliness and the darkness and the alienation that you find yourself in. And when he had came to himself, now starts the process of repentance and faith. The first thing that the sinner needs to know or needs to come to is the realization of coming to his own self, coming to think as he hears the gospel, as he hears the beauty of the Savior and the horribleness of his sinfulness. His mind begins to think and his understanding begins to open up. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He's coming to himself. He's now realizing his father's servants have it much better than he had. He has. And he's a son of this father. I will arise and go to my father. Notice, true saving faith responds. True saving repentance acts. Notice, I will arise and go to my father. First he comes to his own thinking, then he gets up and begins to move. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Notice once again the order, heaven first, then to his daddy. No more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off in the distance, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. To an individual in the ancient world, no father would run like this, making a spectacle of himself. In order to run, he had to lift his robes lest he trip. and therefore exposing his legs and probably parts of his feet, which was unheard of. This humiliation on the part of the Father to come and to reconcile Jesus in his humiliation, his condescension to this world in order to reconcile us, became a servant. The Lord Jesus ran to us in order to reconcile us as this Father runs to reconcile with his Son. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice in verse 21, he makes good on his words of verse 18. That's repentance. Honest, biblical repentance. A true turning from one direction to another direction. But the Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. These are all status symbols. These are all tokens of importance in that culture and in that society. Bring hither the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry. There's that joy in the presence of God, in the presence of the angels of God, when one sinner comes to repentance, we are told. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Notice in verse 24, those who are not saved are in two conditions. Dead and lost, dead in Adam, dead in sin, separated from God, separated from the life of God, and they are thus like the coin and the sheep, lost from the owner. Now his elder son, who in the parable happens to be, in context, the Pharisees of verse 2, context, the eldest son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. What was the response? What was the response of Jesus' day when the Pharisees saw the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes fleeing to Christ and being saved, being delivered, and being healed? Did they rejoice? No. What was their response? And he, the older son, who represents the Pharisees at the table of the dinner in verse 2, angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Here's the Pharisees referring to his external religion. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. Really? I really doubt that. Has kind of a high estimation of himself, just like the rich young ruler when Jesus told him, obey the second table of the law. The rich young ruler said, all these things I've obeyed since my youth up. What lack I yet? And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which was devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Verse 30 is an expression of the Pharisees who were sitting at that table. In verse 2, when they saw who was coming to Christ, the harlots, the publicans, the tax collectors, the parts of society that the Pharisees looked upon as scum. Yet they fled to Christ. They came to him. They fell upon him. They rested upon him. They trusted upon him. And he saved them and he reconciled them. And the Pharisees only became more envious of his popularity. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet. It was proper. It was the right thing to do that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was what? Dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. You take that verse 32 and go all the way back to what? Verse 24. Man is lost in his sin. Man is dead in his depravity. And what does the Father say? It is only proper to make merry. It is only proper to have a party. For my son was once lost. Now he's found. He was once dead. But now he's alive. And so, beloved, I gave you the reading and the commentary at the same time. Amen.